Please pray with me. God of steadfast love, show us your ways and teach us your paths. By your Holy Spirit, open our minds that we may be led in your truth and taught your will. Then may we praise you by listening to your word and by obeying it. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And today's New Testament lesson is from Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. Now, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." Today's lesson is found in Psalm 107. The Psalms were written as hymns, and in worship, hymns give the visible presence of God in an auditory presence. This Psalm 107 would be sung at a Thanksgiving festival. The people were remembering how they and their ancestors had cried out over and over again, and God always answered. Much like our All Saints celebration today, they would be joining together with all the Israelites through the ages to offer thanksgiving and praise to their God of steadfast love. Steadfast love is an inadequate translation of the Hebrew word hesed. It's only inadequate because hesed is not translatable. It defies definition. Hesed is the primary attribute and characteristic of God. Hesed is a love that humans cannot fathom or possess. It is singularly God's. It is reliable, goodness, helpfulness, and unconditional love. The word reliable is often used today in a very pedestrian way. It's defined as consistently good in quality or performance, able to be trusted. God is always reliable and trustworthy. Reliable is what we want in important matters, matters of life and death. We wouldn't want an unreliable doctor or EMT, one who would come at their own convenience and didn't follow best practices. A child doesn't thrive with an unreliable parent or caregiver. If you have ever been left on a soccer field or on the steps of school after everyone else has left, you know how it feels to question the reliability of someone, even someone who loves you. You feel abandoned. Or if you don't have food on your table or clean clothing. These are things we take for granted, but most of the world lives in constant unreliability. Whom can they trust to care for them? We too have parts of our lives that feel unreliable, and there are people and institutions that are not deserving of our trust. They hold the power, things over which we have little or no influence. But as children of God, we must remember that through all the uncertainty, our God is reliable. Reliability is seen throughout the psalm as life-saving and life-giving. This passage follows a cyclical pattern and is only about a quarter of the psalm. The people find themselves in desperate situations. They cry out to the Lord. God redeems them, and the people then offer thanksgiving and praise. This happens four times in four different situations to four different groups of people. We see that this is a human condition that relates to us all throughout time, not just for the Israelites. Our section of the text focuses on the people who are sick through their sinful or foolish ways. They cannot eat and draw near to death. God heals them and delivers them from destruction. The other cycles of the passage cover hunger and thirst, imprisonment, and stormy seas. But they all wait until they are in the depths of distress before they cry out for God. Why do they always wait until the last minute? Why do we always wait until the last minute? They and us wait until we have tried to fix it ourselves, relying on our own power before we turn to God. The people looked away. They relied only on themselves over and over again, forgetting that God is their Redeemer. God has the power to redeem, not the people. Today we follow the same cycle. We forget that God is always present. God was and never has been absent. The Hebrew people, like us, were seeking help for themselves. When we are afraid, we look elsewhere for redemption, something or someone else to save us. We have a hard time seeing that God is with us. And as the psalmist tells us again and again, God has always answered our cry. Perhaps we miss seeing God is present because God doesn't always answer our cry the way we would like it to be answered. How God redeems is usually a mystery to us, and we struggle with mystery. But we trust the reliable God who has always answered us before. If our prayer is not answered in our dream, as we think it should be, we can look at the glass as being half empty. We view through the lens of scarcity, not remembering the abundant, steadfast love of our God. We become confined by our failure to remembering that God is steadfast. We get stuck in this trap and repeat the same behavior, where we limit our vision to the solution we want, where we rely on ourselves, forgetting that God has plans far beyond our imaginings. If we fear, we don't see that God is very present. In fear, we don't see that God is present. There is life happening all around us. But if we don't look for it, we might miss what God is doing. And here at First Press, we sometimes fear that we have traveled off the path, that things are not the same. But through this view, we miss the new seeds sprouting among us, sprouts of green, and the energy and commitment of the pre-PNC study group that is gathering to see God's activity. The deacon visitation ministry leading the congregation in moving out to care for our homebound. The mission committee reminding us monthly of the work that God is doing in this place. We have Rummage volunteers who've heard the call to serve those in need in creative ways and are forging new connections. We have new small groups forming, and our ongoing study groups are still going on and welcoming. Even in the numerous funerals and memorials that we've held lately, this still is the place where people come and cry out to God in their pain, knowing that God will answer them and that they are not alone. And our festival Sundays that are planned and led by the community, by all of the people in this room, not just by the staff. God is at work everywhere, in new movements and in things longstanding. We have cried to the Lord. When we open our eyes and remember the liability of God, we again see that ours is a God of abundance, and we shift the lens from expecting that a need will not be met, the lens of scarcity, to accepting that it is being met, the lens of abundance, and find our way to join in. Next Sunday is Commitment Sunday, and I invite you to read the entirety of Psalm 107, looking for where you find yourself in the story. Where have you been lost in the desert, sick or foolish, or felt yourself lost in a sea that you did not know how to navigate? Then recall how you cried out to God and how God's steadfast love was there. Celebrate the reliability of God and offer up to the Lord your gratitude for this redemption. The Hebrew people would sing this song at a Thanksgiving festival, and they would remember how they had cried out and how God always answered. Because how else would this God of steadfast love respond? Today is our day of remembering and giving thanks for those saints who came before us, those who helped us to see God when we were lost in the wilderness, those who helped us find God in the very beginning and traveled with us on our journey of faith. who reminded us of God's steadfast love when we couldn't see it ourselves. And like the people who were both loath to eat anything and drew near to the gates of death, God was there for them to heal, and God is here to heal us. God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to show us that God redeems. And today, we gather from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and we sit at Christ's table to be fed. God's reliable, steadfast love is always and forever offered to us again and again. When we remember the life-giving promise that we hear in the psalm, to call on the steadfast love of God, we understand that we have a part in this as well. Christ relies on us to be his hands and feet. In this psalm, we hear the echo of Christ's commandment and expectation. In the end, we will be judged on whether we offer drink to the thirsty and food to the hungry. Did we visit the prisoner? Did we sit with the sick and dying? Were we there loving our neighbor as we are called to love them? We can do all of this because we know of God's steadfast love. The hesed of God is a characteristic for which we need to strive. We hear again the promise of God's steadfast love in Christ's promise to the apostles in Matthew. Christ tells them that he is with them always, to the end of the age, and with us as well. Amen.